This is a perfect time for a modern version of Caesar. That's according to director Kedda Carpenter, who also adapted the work from Shakespeare's Julius Caesar. Carpenter drew on her experience on a national political campaign to craft this exploration of power and political warfare.
We're living in a world where, you know, our politics are part of our daily lives in a way that they haven't been in much of my lifetime. And the way that we're watching media influence public opinion and reaction to media and all of those things happening, I think it makes doing a modern version of Caesar right now particularly timely.
So you're using a lot of technology, media, in your production. Tell me about how you incorporated it, the choices that you made with regards to what you decided to include and why.
So when you modernize a Shakespeare play, there's always this problem of social media, that now we communicate over social media so much and we communicate by text so much that to have things like a letter going astray doesn't make sense anymore. And this isn't one of the plays that has a letter going astray. But if you look at how something would happen in this world, nobody's going to stand in the town square and listen to the funeral oration. That doesn't happen. Where does that happen now? That happens in a press conference. So looking at where would this thing happen now if it was, you know, what's the version of this that would happen now? So social media is very incorporated, text messages, also news content.
So there's screens up all over the theater. Do you maybe have an app people could download before they go to the show in order to sort of make it more participatory?
We're working on this right now. So we have this app, but it's an app that will push content to the user's phone during the show at key moments. You will get alerts at certain times during the show. There will be an interactive element to it where you can text and hashtag things that will then appear on the screen in the show.
In addition to adding in all this wonderful tech, you're also making some changes with regards to gender and characters. So tell me about the choices you made about who got to be female, who before was male.
A lot of that choice came from experimentation and just reading the play in different variations with men and women in a lot of the different roles. What I came to, the first role that I decided needed to switch to female was Cassius. So she is Cassia in this production. Because the action of this character is to go to everybody and build this conspiracy and build all these people that are on the team, and every single person on the team asks this character, "Did you get Brutus yet? Did you get Brutus?" And everybody keeps asking for this. I'm like, who's the person who needs a man to front them? And I look at the world that we're living in right now when you see women running for president and they're vetted in a very different way by the public eye. And I look at that and I say, a woman needs that. A woman needs a man to front. And I'm not saying a woman needs a man to front it, but in the public eye, it is assumed that a woman needs a man in order to get an agenda accomplished. And I hate that about our reality, but I also find it to be truthful. So I was like, okay, Cassius has to be female. And that for me made sense why everybody's like, I'll do it if Brutus is on board. I think people are used to seeing women function in these capacities now, and I think it's odd if you don't have women in this story. Because especially if you modernize it and you have a world in which there are only men in the Senate, that's weird for us, even though there are, you know, when you look at the numbers, there are many, 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 many more men in that body than there are women. But there are enough women in that body that not having them there is strange. Just like if you flip the entire play and have it all women, that's also strange.
What gets in the way, just generally speaking, of women playing male roles as women in Shakespeare?
I think tradition. I think it's just because we haven't really full scale started talking about how we can have, there's been two reactions. There's been, you know, one key role like Hamlet, you know, played by Sarah Bernhardt. You know, we have a tradition of women playing Hamlet or one key role. But what we don't have is just a full-scale balancing of gender in the plays. Then we have the other reaction, which is all female versions of things, which I think creates the same problem in a different way. Because now you have a world that's all female, and so I ask the question, why? We just haven't, as a course of practice, we have not decided that this is something that we do. It's starting to pop up. I'm not the only one doing this, but it's starting to pop up that we look at this and say, okay, look at the role, who should play the role, and, you know, not say we need five guys and two women, you know.
You are an actor as well as a director and an adapter. Do you feel a sense of need that more female actors need to get busy creating things for other female actors to be able to get roles that they ordinarily wouldn't be able to do? You're creating opportunities with adaptations like this. Do you feel the need to continue doing that?
Yes, because I think if you look particularly at classical theater, if you look at who's allowed to do this professionally, and you look at the size of the female roles in Shakespeare, in the canon, even the biggest of them, they don't even compare. So if you look at who gets a union contract, which means who gets health insurance, it comes down to that. Who gets a union contract, who gets health insurance? And if the female roles are not made larger, you can't justify giving an equity contract to them. So you're basically deprofessionalizing women within the profession. And I think the only way to make sure that this gets looked at, even though people have great intentions on this issue, if you hand them a play that already does it, I think you're making it easier for this to happen faster. I think it'll happen anyway, but I would like it to happen faster.
As an actor, how did that impact you as an adapter, looking at the dialogue, looking at how you wanted to do the pacing of the scene? How did that actorly part of your brain talk to the writerly part of your brain?
You know, first of all, just looking at the gender perspective, making sure that the roles that I was giving to women were substantial and that they weren't just, you know, sort of a smaller character, that at every level, there were women at every level of role size in the play. But then also looking at the dialogue, there's small things. There's like little small things, like Cassius has a line that is, "I cannot tell what you and other men think of this life, but for my single self, I had this leaf not be, then live to be in awe of such a thing as myself." But when a woman says it, the word "men" is different. So I cannot tell what you and other men think of this life. So like there's small specificities that come out from a female voice in it that are surprising and sometimes interesting, and sometimes you have to change a word because of them. So it's more like surgical alterations to allow the female voice to be present in the text.
For those who have seen Julius Caesar before, when they come to see this play, did you keep the poetry completely intact?
I wouldn't say completely. I would say it's about 80% Shakespeare's original Julius Caesar play, about 10% things I've stolen from other Shakespeare plays, about 5% current Roman philosophers from the time of Julius Caesar, and about 5% original dialogue.
So you really went deep in finding things to add in here. What other plays did you steal from?
Well, mainly Coriolanus, because it's another play set in Rome about politics, so that's an obvious place to pilfer. Then I stole a bit from King Lear. There's a little bit of Midsummer. There's a little bit of Henry IV, Part 1. There's tiny pieces from a bunch of other plays, including Measure for Measure. So I really just went, I was like, this is what I want to say. And then I would think about every play where a character is in that frame of mind, and then I'd go look and see if there's any text I could lift. And some of the stuff I knew already, because it's in my brain. If I've done the play, it stays in my brain somewhere in a cold storage. But if, you know, if I didn't know specifically, I'd be like, oh, Edgar says this, something like this. Let me go look at Edgar and everything Edgar says. Oh, this line. And I'll take it. And then the stuff from the Roman philosophers, I'm like, I want to talk about ambition. I want to talk about death. I want to talk about this. And so I would go and say, literally just Google Cato the Younger, death, and see what he had to say. And just like try to, you know, and I read the entire epic poem by this guy named Lucretius that is called On the Nature of Things, that is mostly a scientific document of Epicurean philosophy. And it is Nazi crackers. But there's parts of it that are in beautiful verse, and they are in the public domain, so I can steal them. And it's already in a meter that blends beautifully. And there's some musings on people and their involvement and ambition that are really useful. So I pilfered those as well.
So the people who are real Shakespeare fans are going to come into this, and they're kind of have a field day because it's almost like you've inserted Easter eggs.
Oh, yeah. If you are a Shakespeare buff and you know your stuff, you're going to recognize all the stuff that I stole. Even if you don't necessarily know where I stole it from, you'll be like, I know that's not from this play. Wait a minute. And it might drive you insane. But yeah, there's some of that. There's some what I call fake spear, which is things that sound like Shakespeare that I've actually written that are kind of in meter and sort of tack on. And then there's Shakespeare from other plays. And then there is stuff from other sources that is mainly philosophers.
You once worked on a presidential campaign. Which one?
I did. I worked for Ralph Nader in 2000, in the big infamous spoiler election of 2000.
So what did you glean from that you were able to use in this adaptation of Caesar?
Well, first of all, just the way that a campaign works, the way that D.C. works, and this play is not set in D.C., and I'm not trying to make it look like D.C., but the way that when a campaign is going on, the way that the staffers from each of the campaigns cross-pollinate in the popular bars. So if you look at, like, DuPont Circle at night, you have the campaign from these staffers and these staffers and these staffers are all in the same room. And I thought that was kind of interesting. I also thought it was interesting how many times we would compromise on a campaign ideal publicly. So there would be something like we were the Green Party, for Ralph Nader, and without spoiling anything, we had a diesel van at one point that needed to go out, and they asked us to remove the diesel sticker from the back. So like these small things that were like, this is a violation of a public perception of an ethic that we are supposed to be holding in this party. So it's just like small compromises that, you know, even in a candidate I very much believed in, yet there's these small compromises. I'm like, this is how it starts.
What do you hope audiences will take away from the play? They're talking in the car, talking on the bus. What do you hope they're talking about?
I'd love them to talk about the speech that Brutus has toward the end of the play that is really looking at, is it better to stick with the status quo and live within what's here, or is it better to try to usurp what is there because that creates chaos and power vacuum? And like, what is the solution here, given that takeover or, you know, assassination is a completely insane thing to do and will never come to good? It never has in history. It's the one thing we keep repeating that we every time get the same result. But what can be done? What should be done? How do we deal with it when we have opposing viewpoints? How do we actually find a way to communicate and change the world when we have distinctly opposing viewpoints? Because I do think this is a place where we're sitting in the world, and it's not just America, it's all across the world. We have this bifurcated sort of population, and at some point it is going to come to a head, or we're going to find a way to talk to each other. And those are our two options, and I would love for them to be walking away talking about, what else can we do other than this? What else can we do other than bring it to violence?
That's Ketta Carpenter. Her adaptation, Caesar, runs in rotation at the Illinois Shakespeare Festival through August 10th at the Illinois State University Center for Performing Arts. I'm Laura Kennedy.